Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Even though California saw almost 160,000 acres burn in wildfires so far in 2019, it's still a fraction of the amount that we had burned by this time last year. This has been attributed to the more moderate weather with fewer hotter windy days. But it's important to note that September and October are historically the worst 2 months every year in California, making it the topic or one of the topics of today's show. Prevention is a key to public safety, and fire safety education isn't just for school children. Teenagers, adults, and the elderly are also at risk in fires, making it important for every member of our communities to take time every October during Fire Prevention Week to make sure they understand how to stay safe in case of a fire, but better yet, how to prevent fires and how to reduce wildfire risk. And my guests for today's show are just the perfect people to help with this. They are Chief Scott Gelbert, Cal Fire, San Luis Obispo County Fire Department Chief, and Alan Peters, Division Chief and Forester, and Adan Orozco, Fire Captain and Public Information Officer. I want to remind you that our show today is live, and if you have questions or comments, I encourage you to join us in our discussion. This is your opportunity to ask questions you may have and maybe don't get answered when you're just watching a news program. You can call us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting us.
You know, we hear about Cal Fire and the local police, the local fire departments, and I'm always curious what the difference is between the two, how you disseminate, who covers what. Maybe that's a good place to start.
Well, first off, thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
Pretty cool.
You're
to
welcome.
Be here today. So Cal Fire, we're a state agency, and we are charged under the Public Resource Code to protect the state responsibility lands throughout California. And what a state responsibility land is essentially, if it does not fit within an incorporated city, or lands that the Board of Forestry don't deem as areas that are protected. Basically, it comes back to watershed and water quality. It is deemed by the Board of Forestry as state responsibility land. So to simplify that here in San Luis Obispo, anything that's not within the city, mm-hmm. And with some minor exceptions, pretty much everything is within the SRA. So Cal Fire, we're in our state hat. We're the state fire agency that's responsible for wildland fire protection. We protect roughly 3,200 square miles of the county. And that incorporates a little over 1.4 million acres. So we're responsible for the suppression and prevention of all wildland fires in the county. With that, the county of San Luis Obispo has elected to contract with us, and they've been doing so for 70 years. And so we also serve as the county fire department. So as the chief of Cal Fire, as an example, I have the privilege to be the state fire chief and the county fire chief. So we wear two different hats here within the county. And our county fire department role is no different than any other municipality. That's, you know, within the county, for an example, Atascadero or San Luis Obispo or Paso Robles. But we protect the unincorporated lands. So the county fire department mission is anything that's not served by a city or a special district like a CSD like Templeton, mm-hmm. Or the five cities fire authorities under jurisdiction with us. So in totality, we have 22 fire stations throughout the county. That protect the citizens, and roughly we're responsible for about 128,000 citizens within the county that we provide life safety and fire protection. The cool thing about the contract with Cal Fire and the county is we're able to leverage our resources. So we can utilize state-funded fire engines or county-funded fire engines, and we all do the same job.
So if you're working for Cal Fire, you're employed by the state?
Yes.
Then if you're working for the city, you're employed locally by the local government or the city
exactly.
government.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're all state employees, right. but we have different missions, right? Uh-huh. And we have a multitude of cooperative agreements all throughout the state. But here in San Luis, we have a pretty unique program where we have a pretty robust county fire program and a state program. On top of that, we staff our fire crews in the county. We have our Cuesta camp, and we just recently opened up our Toro Fire Center, which is a cooperation with the California Conservation Corps here in San Luis Obispo. We provide services such as if you go to the San Luis Airport and you see the big yellow crash truck driving around,
right.
that's staffed by us under that.
That's Cal Fire.
It's under Cal Fire, under the county fire responsibility. And then also probably our most popular asset here in the county is our air base out of Paso Robles. So anytime that you see a fire in the county and you see the airplanes flying above, most likely those planes are coming out of our Paso Robles AirTAC base, which is sometimes they're the busiest in the state, but they're always in the top three of the busiest air attack bases in the state.
That's pretty fascinating. Now, are the local fire department, the training for local fire department employees, fire people, are they the same as the training that you would get for Cal Fire?
Yeah, everybody has a minimum standard they train to, and all of us are all trained in all hazards. So
right.
any fire agency in this county, including us, can respond to hazardous material incidents,
okay.
cliff rescues, structure fires, wildland fires, medical aids. All the different responsibilities of a fire department we all have, and we all work collectively throughout the county to provide this service. As I always say, that none of us can do it alone, including us. As an example, you will not find any fire in any city without a Cal Fire engine on that fire assisting
them.
I've
noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, and in turn, if you go to almost any fire in this county, in the Cal Fire County Fire area, we will have a auto aid or mutual aid from another jurisdiction.
So that was another question I was going to ask. When a call goes out, do you get the call at the same time? Does Cal Fire get, you know, are they alerted to a fire at the same time that the local fire department would be alerted to a fire?
Yeah, so we have a pretty robust 911 system here in this county. So we have a thing called the PSAP, which is the primary answering point, safety answering point. So depending, for an example, if you report an emergency, we'll just pick on San Luis City. If someone calls 911 in the city of San Luis to report an emergency, it goes to their police dispatch center. And if it's a medical aid, we have a program called CAD to CAD, meaning that when they get the call, as soon as they put the address and they request, it sends a computer message to our dispatch center and to MedCom over in the sheriff's office, and everybody's alerted at the same time. Same thing goes for us. If we receive a call, let's say just outside, you know, we just had those a couple of the fires just on 101, just outside the Atascadero city limits. Well, as soon as we get the 911 call and we geo-rarify the location of the incident, we send a CAD-to-CAD message to Atascadero. So they're dispatching at the same time we're dispatching.
And if there's a vehicle accident, is that the same thing?
Same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
If
I see both engines on those as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so CHP will most likely receive a 911 call on a cellular phone. They will give it to the sheriff's office to dispatch as the PSAP, and as they're entering the call, they will send it to the appropriate agency that it goes to. And so that's why we'll get the fire response and the ambulance response, and everybody's going at the same time.
You know, one of the things that I read recently that kind of fascinated me was the number of medical aid calls that fire services respond to.
It's part of our bread and butter. 76%.
It's astounding.
Yeah, 76% of our calls here in the county, at least for us, are medical related, and that also includes vehicle accidents. So we average about 13,000 incidents, emergency incidents for Cal Fire, County Fire, in the county, and 76% of those are medical related.
Yeah, and that's everything from helping somebody get up off the floor, right? to somebody who's having a heart attack or maybe found not breathing, pulse, right?
Yes, and Adon here is one of our fire captains, and he just recently filled the public information officer role, our PIO role. But prior to that, he was one of our station captains, and he can account firsthand of what he does.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I really don't think a lot of people understand how frequently those calls come in.
Sure, and you would hear a lot of the term all-risk fire agency.
Yeah.
So that means we go from everything from a lift assist, like you were talking about, medical aid, to car accidents, to hazmat situations, technical rescue, water rescue. We run the whole gamut, commercial, industrial fires, residential structure fires. There's really not anything we don't go to or assist with.
Now, you know, I watch, as I think all of us do, because we're just bombarded by media these days, but you see that there are individuals that, you mentioned the different kind of rescues you've got, everything from having to rescue somebody off a cliff because they overextended what they could do and need to be prepared to propel down and get them and come back up, to a water rescue. Are you guys cross-trained in all of that, or do you have special people in each department that are capable of that?
We are cross-trained in a lot of those disciplines, and we have our regional rescue team here in San Luis Obispo, where we have people from different agencies like Paso Robles, San Luis City, Diablo Fire. So we're kind of intermingled in that sense, and we've all been trained in those disciplines. They go to countless continuing education classes every year to keep up their skills, and we get together pretty much once or every couple of months, and we run drills, and a lot of organizations, like we went to Shea Homes recently, and they provided an area where we can do a trench rescue evolution, and that was great practice. We actually got to practice on their site.
And you burn things down, too, is practice, too, right? I mean, people have houses that they're going to demo, and sometimes you have the privilege of practicing on that.
We have, and we can, but we also have to pay attention to our air pollution control district standards and things like that. So there's some approval that we have to go through in order to do those things, but that's very helpful. It's a real-life situation where firefighters get valuable training.
What kind of age range is there for individuals that are active with CAL FIRE and with local fire departments?
Well, in order to be a firefighter, you have to be at least 18 years old. And for us, at least, we probably, in some cases, have more of a younger age group for firefighters because we have our seasonal firefighter program.
Yeah.
And so what our seasonal firefighter program is, it's a temporary firefighter program. So you're not full-time, where you're full-time, but you're not permanent. So generally our seasonals work anywhere from somewhere around 6 to 9 months throughout the summer. Generally we bring them on during the fire season. So that's pretty much the beginning stages of the firefighter career. But throughout the fire service, you can start off at 18. We have firefighters on the engines that are in their late 50s, 60s. It's definitely a physically and mentally demanding job. And most of us get into this profession because we want to do it.
Yeah.
It's a reward, I think, to all of us. I myself, I'm in the upper echelon in age group, and I stick around because I love what we do.
Yeah. I think with some of the more obvious hazardous kinds of things that fire personnel have had to deal with, whether it was 9/11 or bigger tragedies like that, there's been a lot of talk about the exposure to the toxic elements, and now there's so many toxic elements, I think, that are in homes that are burning or areas that are burning. Is that something that is having a huger, much larger impact on health for you guys?
Well, you know, it's always somewhat been there, right? All the plastics,
yeah.
And, you know, since the,
yeah.
the 50s, 60s, and mm-hmm. 70s, when we started putting plastics and synthetic materials into our homes, we've always been exposed to that. Safety is our number one concern for our employees, and
yeah.
Things are a lot better today than they were when I started and for two or three previous generations before that. I mean, we were a self-contained breathing apparatus to protect our lungs and to protect some sort of inhalation injuries or exposure. We were pretty good, what we call PPE, personal protective equipment,
mm-hmm.
Which you'll see us like, for an example, on a side of the road of a vehicle accident or in a structure fire, what we call bunker gear, where we're in the pants and the jacket. And the helmets, and but with all that being said, we're still exposed to other
yeah.
things, and the cancer awareness rates. It's things that have changed. So, you know, for an example, when I was a firefighter and you had a dirty face and you came back to the fire station, after you put everything back and you cleaned up all the stuff and you went and took a shower and cleaned up, and now that we're learning, the sooner that you get those contaminants off your skin, the better off you are. So now we're taking provisions on the fire ground. So once we get the fire knocked down, everything's handled, we're done getting dirty per se. We're cleaning ourselves. We're deconning our turnouts. We're taking
yeah.
them off and we're bagging them and we're wiping our faces and we're getting all those skin exposures where before we didn't think anything of it because
right.
of recent findings that's really a contributory factor towards all the cancers that our firefighters are dealing with.
Is that common practice now with all firefighters?
Yeah, we have a we've become a lot smarter, you know. I mean, it used to be a badge of honor to have your helmet, and it was all dirty. It was kind of like playing football, and you'd have all the stick marks on your helmet. And, you know, you look like a tough guy. So, you know, back in my earlier days, the dirtier the helmet, the cooler you look like.
Yeah.
And now today we're smarter, and now you're like, hey, go clean your helmet. And, you know, there's no reason for that.
Yeah.
And so it's a cultural change for us. I really think it is, and we've become a lot smarter.
The shift work that you guys do, can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, it's not an 8-to-5 job, right? Monday through Friday. And
no.
some guys and women have to work weekends. It's different than that.
Right. We split our shift up, and there's a couple different shift combos that we do out there where we work 72-hour work weeks, and so that could either be 3 days in a row or a two-on, two-off schedule with a six-day Kelly, and that's just taking a shift off every 28 days. Sometimes we work longer, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially during fire season, and that's something we know when we sign up. You know, sometimes you go to work and you won't see your family for a couple of weeks. But it's one of those things that we do. We choose to this career and to provide a community service, and we're proud of what we do.
I'm Chris Kingdenbarger, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. According to CAL FIRE, 9 of California's 10 most destructive wildfires on record started in the last 4 months of the year, including most recently the Camp and Woolsey fires in November 2018, the Thomas Fire in December of 2017, and the Nuns Fire and Tubbs Fire in October of 2017. Because of this, the highlight of October is Fire Prevention Week, with a focus on helping educate the community about how to stay safe in case of fire, how to prevent fires, and how to reduce wildfire risk. And today we're going to be talking more about that on this show. My guests for today are Dr. Chief Scott Jalbert. You can be a doctor
All
now.
Right.
How I just promoted you. Or maybe not. Maybe I demoted you. That's CAL FIRE, San Luis Obispo County Fire Department, and Alan Peters, Division Chief and Forester, Adan Orozco, Fire Captain and Public Information Officer. And we welcome you to join us in the discussion today with your comments and questions. Don't let me just be the only person asking. You can reach us by calling 805-781-3875 and bringing your questions to the conversation. Again, that's 805-781-3875. So I do want to move on.